feel uncommon nervous about the ceremony, Colonel. I wish you'd come and see me through it.
But you've been through it before, ma'am. You were married to Eliza's mother.
Who told you that, Colonel?
Well, nobody told me, but I concluded. Naturally.
No, that ain't a natural way, Colonel. It's only the middle-class way. My way was always the undeserving way. But don't say nothing to Eliza. She don't know. I always had a delicacy about telling her.
Quite right. We'll leave it so, if you don't mind.
And you'll cut to the church, Colonel, and put me through straight.
With pleasure, as far as a bachelor can.
May I come, Mr. Doolittle? I should be very sorry to miss your wedding.
I should indeed be honoured by your condescension, ma'am. And my poor old woman would take it as a tremendous compliment. She's been very low, thinking of the happy days that are no more.
I'll order the carriage and get ready. I shan't be more than 15 minutes. Oh, I'm going to church to see your father married, Eliza. You'd better come in the brougham with me. Colonel Pickering can go on with the bridegroom.
Bridegroom. What a word. Makes a man realize his position somehow.
Before I go, Eliza, do forgive Higgins and come back to us.
I don't think Dad will allow me, would you, Dad?
They played you off very cunning, Eliza, them two sportsmen. If it had been only one of them, you could have nailed it. But you see, there was two. One of them chaperoned the other, as you might say. It was artful of you, Colonel, but I bear no malice. I should have done the same myself. I've been the victim of one woman after another all my life, and I don't grudge you two getting the better of Liza. I shan't interfere. It's time for us to go, Colonel. So long, Henry. See you in St. George's, Liza.
Do stay with us, Eliza.
Well, Eliza, you've had a bit of your own back, as you call it. Have you had enough? And are you going to be reasonable, or do you want any more?
You want me back only to pick up your slippers and put up with your tempers and fetch and carry for you.
I haven't said I wanted you back at all.
Oh, indeed. Then what are we talking about?
About you, not about me. If you come back, I shall treat you just as I've always treated you. I can't change my nature, and I don't intend to change my manners. My manners are exactly the same as Colonel Pickering's.
That's not true. He treats a flower girl as if she was a duchess.
And I treat a duchess as if she was a flower girl.
I see. The same to everybody.
Just so.
Like father.
Without accepting the comparison at all points, Eliza, it's quite true that your father is not a snob, and that he'll be quite at home in any station of life to which his eccentric destiny may call him. The great secret, Eliza, is not having bad manners or good manners or any other particular sort of manners, but having the same manner for all human souls. In short, behaving as if you were in heaven, where there are no third-class carriages, and one soul is as good as another.
Amen. You are a born preacher.
The question is not whether I treat you rudely, but whether you ever heard me treat anyone else better.
I don't care how you treat me. I don't mind your swearing at me. I shouldn't mind a black eye. I've had one before this. But I won't be passed over.
Then get out of my way, for I won't stop for you. You talk about me as if I were a motor bus.
So you are a motor bus, all bounce and go and no consideration for anyone. But I can do without you. Don't think I can't.
I know you can. I told you you could.
I know you did, you brute. You wanted to get rid of me.
Liar.
Thank you.
You never asked yourself, I suppose, whether I could do without you.
Don't you try to get round me. You'll have to do without me.
I can do without anybody. I have my own soul, my own spark of divine fire. But I shall miss you, Eliza. I've learnt something from your idiotic notions. I confess that, humbly and gratefully. And I've grown accustomed to your voice and appearance. I like them, rather.
Well, you have both of them on your gramophone and in your book of photographs. When you feel lonely without me, you can turn the machine on. It's got no feelings to hurt.
I can't turn your soul on. Leave me those feelings, and you can take away the voice and the face. They are not you.
Oh, you are a devil. You can twist the heart in a girl as easy as some could twist her arms to hurt her. Mrs. Pierce warned me. Time and again she has wanted to leave you, and you always got round her at the last minute, and you don't care a bit for her, and you don't care a bit for me.
I care for life, for humanity. And you are a part of it that has come my way and been built into my house. What more can you or anyone ask?
I won't care for anybody that doesn't care for me.
Commercial principles, Eliza. Like Australian violets, isn't it?
Don't sneer at me. it's mean to sneer at me.
I've never sneered in my life. Sneering doesn't become either the human face or the human soul. I'm expressing my righteous contempt for commercialism. I don't and won't trade in affection. You call me a brute because you couldn't buy a claim on me by fetching my slippers and finding my spectacles. You were a fool. I think a woman fetching a man's slippers is a disgusting sight. Did I ever fetch your slippers? I think a good deal more of you for throwing them in my face. No use slaving for me and then saying you want to be cared for. Who cares for a slave? If you come back for the sake of good fellowship, for you'll get nothing else. You've had 1,000 times as much out of me as I have out of you. And if you dare to set up your little dog's tricks of fetching and carrying slippers against my creation of a Duchess Eliza, I'll slam the door in your silly face.
What did you do it for if you didn't care for me?
Why? Because it was my job.
You never thought of the trouble it would make for me.
Would the world ever have been made if its maker had been afraid of making trouble? Making life means making trouble. There's only one way of escaping trouble, and that's killing things. Cowards, you notice, are always shrieking to have troublesome people killed.
I'm no preacher. I don't notice things like that. I notice that you don't notice me.
Eliza, you're an idiot. I waste the treasures of my Miltonic mind by spreading them before you. Once for all, understand that I go my way and do my work without caring tuppence what happens to either of us. I am not intimidated like your father and your stepmother. So you can come back or go to the devil, which you please.
What am I to come back for?
For the fun of it. That's why I took you on.
And you may throw me out tomorrow if I don't do everything you want me to?
Yes, and you may walk out tomorrow if I don't do everything you want me to.
And live with my stepmother?
Yes, or sell flowers.
Oh, if only I could go back to my flower basket. I should be independent of both you and father and all the world. Why did you take my independence from me? Why did I give it up? I'm a slave now for all my fine clothes.
Not a bit. I'll adopt you as my daughter and settle money on you if you like. Or would you rather marry Pickering?
I wouldn't marry you if you asked me, and you're nearer my age than what he is.
Than he is, not than what he is.
I'll talk as I like. You're not my teacher now.
I don't suppose Pickering would, though. He's as confirmed an old bachelor as I am.
That's not what I want. And don't you think it? I've always had chaps enough wanting me that way. Freddie Hill writes to me twice and three times a day, sheets and sheets.
Damn his impudence.
He has a right to if he likes poor lad, and he does love me.
You've no right to encourage him.
Every girl has a right to be loved.
What, by fools like that?
Freddie's not a fool. And if he's weak and poor and wants me, maybe he'd make me happier than my betters that bully me and don't want me.
Can he make anything of you? That's the point.
Perhaps I could make something of him. But I never thought of us making anything of one another, and you never think of anything else. I only want to be natural.
In short, you want me to be as infatuated about you as Freddie. Is that it?
No, I don't. That's not the sort of feeling I want from you. And don't you be too sure of yourself or of me. I could have been a bad girl if I'd liked. I've seen more of some things than you, for all your learning. Girls like me can drag gentlemen down to make love to them easily enough, and they wish each other dead the next minute.
Of course they do. Then what in thunder are we quarrelling about?
I want a little kindness. I know I'm a common, ignorant girl, and you a book-learned gentleman, but I'm not dirt under your feet. What I did was not for the dresses and the taxes. I did it because we were pleasant together, and I came to care for you. Not to want you to make love to me, and not forgetting the difference between us, but more friendly-like.
Well, of course. That's just how I feel, and how Pickering feels. Eliza, you're a fool.
There's not a proper answer to give me.
It's all you'll get until you stop being a common idiot. If you're going to be a lady, you'll have to give up feeling neglected if the men you know don't spend half their time snivelling over you and the other half giving you black eyes. If you can't stand the coldness of my sort of life and the strain of it, go back to the gutter. Work till you're more a brute than a human being, and then cuddle and squabble and drink till you fall asleep. Oh, it's a fine life, the life of the gutter. It's real, it's warm, it's violent. You can feel it through the thickest skin. You can taste it and smell it without any training or any work. Not like science and literature and classical music and philosophy and art. You find me cold, unfeeling, selfish, don't you? Very well. Be off with you to the sort of people you like. Marry some sentimental hog or other with lots of money and a thick pair of lips to kiss you with and a thick pair of boots to kick you with. If you can't appreciate what you've got, you better get what you can appreciate.
Oh, you are a cruel tyrant. I can't talk to you. You turn everything against me. I'm always in the wrong. But you know very well all the time that you're nothing but a bully. You know I can't go back to the gutter, as you call it, and that I have no real friends in the world but you and the Colonel. You know well I couldn't bear to live with a low, common man after you two, and it's wicked and cruel of you to insult me by pretending I could. You think I must go back to Wimpole Street because I have nowhere else to go but father's. But don't you be too sure that you have me under your feet to be trampled on and talked down. I'll marry Freddy, I will, as soon as I'm able to support him.
Freddy? That young fool? That poor devil who couldn't get a job as an errand boy, even if he had the guts to try for it. Woman, do you not understand that I have made you a consort for a king?
Freddy loves me. That makes him king enough for me. I don't want him to work. He wasn't brought up to it as I was. I'll go and be a teacher.
What'll you teach, in heaven's name?
What you taught me, I'll teach phonetics. I'll offer myself as an assistant to that hairy-faced Hungarian.
What? That imposter, that humbug, that toadying ignoramus, teach him my methods and my discoveries. You take one step in his direction and I'll wring your neck. Do you hear?
Wring away. What do I care? I knew you'd strike me someday. Ah, now I know how to deal with you. What a fool I was not to think of it before. You can't take away the knowledge you gave me. You said I had a finer ear than you, and I can be civil and kind to people, which is more than you can. Aha! That's done for you, Henry Higgins, it has. Now I don't care that for your bullying and your big talk. I'll advertise in the papers that your duchess is only a flower girl that you taught, and that she'll teach anybody to be a duchess just the same in 6 months for 1,000 guineas. Oh, when I think of myself crawling under your feet and being trampled on and called names, when all the time I had only to lift up my finger to be as good as you, I could just kick myself.
You damned impudent slut, you. But it's better than snivelling, better than fetching slippers and finding spectacles, isn't it? By George, Eliza, I said I'd make a woman of you, and I have. I like you like this.
Yes, you turn round and make up to me now that I'm not afraid of you and can do without you.
Of course I do, you little fool. 5 minutes ago you were like a millstone round my neck. Now you're a tower of strength, a consort battleship. You and I and Pickering will be 3 old bachelors instead of only 2 men and a silly girl.
The carriage is waiting, Eliza. Are you ready?
Quiet. Is the professor coming?
Certainly not. He can't behave himself in church. He makes remarks out loud all the time on the clergyman's pronunciation.
Then I shall not see you again, Professor. Goodbye.
Goodbye, dear.
Goodbye, Mother. Oh, by the way, Eliza, order a ham and a Stilton cheese, will you? And buy me a pair of reindeer gloves, number 8s. And a tie to match that new suit of mine. You can choose the colour.
Number 8s are too small for you if you want them lined with lamb's wool. You have 3 new ties that you have forgotten in the drawer of your washstand. Colonel Pickering prefers double Gloucester to Stilton, and you don't notice the difference. I telephoned Mrs. Pierce this morning not to forget the ham. What you are to do without me, I cannot imagine.
I'm afraid you've spoilt that girl, Henry. I should be uneasy about you and her if she were less fond of Colonel Pickering.
Pickering? Nonsense! She's going to marry Freddy!
Ha, 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 ha